Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Notice of proposed tax increase. The first part of this is last year. Then you'll see this year's proposed tax levy, $193.5 million. Last year's total was $164.9 million.
I know it's not the most exciting thing in the world, but how do you like a several hundred dollar tax increase on your property tax bill? Yay or nay? Yay or nay? Everybody's super excited. Well, that's what we're talking about here. This is Terry St. Cyr. He is the Escambia Assistant Superintendent for Finance and Business Support, Business Services. And this really, honestly, very, very boring meeting the other day. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It's not exciting. Is going to lead to a vote tomorrow in a meeting that's going to have to do with the question of whether the school board is in Escambia County is going to raise the millage. Not by a lot, by about a half a point net, but still a fairly significant amount because it's, you know, if you raise the mill, and I know math on the radio, but remember, I you know, John, I've said this before, I'll say it again. I hate the fact that we use the term millage.
I do too. It's kind of confusing. It's kind of like mileage.
Okay, fair enough. It sounds like another word that it has nothing to do with.
Exactly.
Also, generally speaking, I'll tell you from my perspective. I couldn't have told you what a mill or what millage meant exactly, probably as recently as a year ago.
Really?
Yeah, I just kind of, the math, I just didn't know what the term, I knew that was the rate you were taxed at, okay? But, you know, I consider myself a moderately well-educated guy, fairly good at math. And, you know, what is a millage and how does it work? Well, it's actually very, very simple. For every $1,000 of taxable or assessed value on your home, you pay a buck. It's a thousandth. A mill is a thousandth. Like, a percent is 1/100th.
Why can't they just call it tax rate?
Right? Well, it's supposed to tell you that it's mill, thousand, it's a thousandth. It's supposed to contain that within it. And for anybody who knows the fact, that's fine. But again, I just do the Andrew McKay test. You know, at 54 years old with a master's degree in philosophy and a fair amount of political knowledge, the word didn't mean anything to me, not really, until, you know, fairly recently. So it's actually a very simple word. The problem is, because we use a different word for this than the word we use for every other price calculation. What's the normal price calculation word? Percent. You're used to that. Now, let's start with the obvious. Most people can't do percent.
I mean, right.
Right. But most people, if you take, random person off the street, here's the test. Okay. I want you to bet your car on this proposition. We are going to go randomly select any person on the street. We're going to take them into a store. We're going to show them the price of an item, a gallon of milk at Walmart, somewhere in the $3 vicinity. Okay? Let's even say it's $3 even. Okay? And you're going to ask them one question. Take 25% off that cost and tell me how much it's worth or what the price is. And you're going to bet your car. The random person on the street gets that calculation correct. Are you taking that bet?
No. And they can take over the payments too, but hey, you know.
Nobody takes this bet.
No, nobody.
Because you don't assume that the average person can even do, I mean, even make it easier. You say it's 75 cents off, okay? Anyway, because a quarter of $3 is 75 cents. How do you know that?
Just go with
us. Anyway, even now, your odds go up if you say 10%. Your odds go up if you say take 10% off.
I would agree with that one.
But your odds go back down if you say take off 20%. Because, listen, people can't do math. Not most people. Even simple math. I was having this conversation with one of the checkout ladies who's such a sweetheart at the Grocery Advantage on Davis Highway. And we were talking about this a little bit. Because she asked me if I had any change because I was getting a refund on something. And she asked me if I had any change. And I knew what she was trying to do was, you know, it was like 87 cents and you know, because they priced it wrong. That happens. And she's asking if I had change. I knew what she was trying to do was be able to give me a dollar. You know, like, do I have 13 cents more or even a quarter more to go over? But anyway, and I looked at her, I smiled, and I said, look at you being a classic cashier trying to, you know, make the change work out. And she says, yeah. And I said, you know, most cashiers these days can't do that. They don't get it. If I had an 87 cent bill and I offered the cashier 13 cents, if I ever had 13 cents on me, who carries change anymore? She'd look at me like I had three eyes. Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you giving me money when I'm trying to give you money? You know, like, it just doesn't make any sense. But that's the point. They can't do math. Okay? So they can't do math. They can't do percents. It definitely becomes confusing if they can do percents. Do they know what a mill is? Can they do a millage calculation? Because it's easy when you're okay at math, but if you don't know how to do it. So, for example, if you have a $300,000 value house, and here we have, you know, homestead exemptions, and you had the increased limitations and all that stuff. But let's say average home, $300,000 of taxable value. A mill is $300. $300,000, $300. You follow? It's actually meant to be easy, but I don't think it is easy for most people. So if the school board is talking about raising it by half a mill, they're talking about raising your property tax bill by $150 a year. In Escambia County, in the county, you pay about 12 mills, roughly everything included. That's the library and the sheriff and the county and the school board and everything else. If you live in the city, it's 16. Okay, so in the city, if you have a $300,000 house, you pay just shy of $5,000 in property taxes. $4,800 if you want to really keep the math nice and simple. Okay, so anyway, they're talking about a half a mill increase in it's the capital budget, the capital fund. That's the only one that they're really able to set easily. And the capital fund, the problem is that they're down about $50 million since 2020 because of student enrollment decline.
All right, capital outlay tax will generate $52 million for the following major construction projects that are Myrtle Grove Elementary, have the new ones that'll be going on for the new year, which are the performing arts at the high school, two high schools, the projects at Pine Forest High School, and then the prototypical classroom additions. These are the major projects. Of course, there's always ongoing construction.
Yeah, so we got major projects that are underfunded, and that's what the capital budget is meant to provide for. But, you know, if you increase from what we're at right now is about a mil, about a thousandth, or if you prefer a tenth of a percent, but again, if you do it that way, how many people are going to grasp that? I don't know, but that's what it is. A mill is a tenth of a percent. Then, you know, they're going to raise it that much, and it's going to cost you, depending on the value of your house, and it's going to raise $50 million or so. I believe that's not a year. That'd be over the course of time. I don't think the number works out to be that high in 1 year, but that's the idea over time. Like I said, it is currently about a mill. It's about one. It's actually just, I think it's a little bit above one, if I remember correctly. I'm going on memory from the meeting that I was watching yesterday. That would mean that the total tax you pay for the school board, that's everything. There's a state requirement. There's a couple of other things, discretionary option. But basically, right now, you pay 4.8, and it would be 5.3. So right now, on a house, again, keeping it as simple as I can, your school board tax on your $300,000 house right now is about $1,400 and is going to go up to about $1,550. So would you be happy to increase your home tax by $150 to pay for the school, to pay for schools for kids. You say $150 over the course of a year, you know what, $12 a month? It's not that much money. But why do we have to pay it? Well, here's why. Because funding sources from the state and from the feds are not great. And here's the part that gets me. Because of declining enrollment. We have 4,200 fewer kids in Escambia County schools than we had 5 years ago in 2020. Because of vouchers. Because people are now able, financially able, to go to private school. And now that the public school is competing on an even footing against private school, they're losing. No, reforms are in place, and Keith Leonard is trying to do a good job, and they're trying to keep up and be innovative and be nimble. But look, the school district used to be the beneficiary of a monopoly. A government-funded monopoly, no less. The worst kind of monopoly there is. Because it's compelled payment for an overpriced, under-competitive product. I mean, that's what monopolies always do. They always cost more for less quality. So vouchers, the idea of vouchers is, A, for justice, to let people pick what they think is going to do the best by their own children and to get people out of poorly performing schools. If the government is going to provide the funding, then the government should allow the funding to go wherever the parents want it to. That's the idea of vouchers. Well, the problem is that when that becomes a reality, and I don't say it's a problem necessarily, I think it's a good thing, but when this is allowed, then people leave the public school system, and they have been. Of course, you also have more people choosing for homeschooling because of hard to get jobs, hard to get childcare, hard to afford the rent. And so they cut costs. And one of the ways to cut costs is to, you think, well, how can you cut costs by not going to work? Well, if you're paying so much in all the consequences of having a job, like a car and insurance for that car and meals and clothes and childcare, well, eventually maybe you say, I just won't go to work anymore, and that will save us money. I mean, but so people are opting to homeschool, and they're more often, because of vouchers, they're opting for private school. And as a result, we're down 4,200 kids out of a population of, right now we're at around 37,000. So used to be over 40, now we're down to about 37,000. So about 10% down. So just like bare bones analysis of this, as a taxpayer, my thought is, okay, you're wanting to raise my property taxes in order to pay for something that the customers don't want. It's a declining customer base. I mean, that's what the evidence shows. 90% of the people are still willing to go to this restaurant that makes the government education, right? Declining customer base, and your answer is to raise cost, is to raise prices, is to charge more for the steak that people don't want as much. And I think, well, no. That's how I look at it. The flip side of this is that because the schools have been in a position of, you know, doing what they've been doing under the government monopoly system for so long, is they've gotten, fat and bad, so to speak. And it's a long series of choices in the past that have put us in the position where right now, if you don't do this, as Paul Fetsko says, it would be real bad.
This year, you know, it is so different, and it's almost near catastrophic in terms of what's going to happen budgetarily to us.
If we don't vote for this tax increase, you know, if the school board doesn't vote for it, it's going to be an extreme financial hardship for the next 2 to 3 years, harming kids and harming teachers, and that's why they're asking us to be supportive of the vote that they have the power to make. Is that a good vote? Well, that's the issue. That's the question. They say must be done. There's no other option. Other people are going to ask, and I thought Tom Harrell brought up the good point, is if we do this, aren't people going to ask us what cuts we've made? Because, you know, is the product getting better? Are we trying to save costs, or are we just raising prices because we have the authority to raise the price? And by the way, it's also worth noting, this is all part of the truth of this subject, that we have very low taxes in Escambia County compared to the rest of the state. Most everybody else actually does allow this 1.5 mil that we are now going to raise from 1 to 1.5 mil. And overall, the aggregate tax rate for Escambia County is only 4.8 right now, 4.87. That puts us sixth lowest in the entire state. Most are over 5. Many are over 6. So they've kept your taxes low. That was probably a bad choice all these years because that put us behind in funding. But Escambia County is a, you know, very conservative place, doesn't like to pay taxes. So they've kept taxes low. They're now talking about raising them. We used to have the 1.5 mills on this, and we went down to 1 about 5 or 6 years ago and then kind of tinkered with it a little bit. But that's, you know, we had it before, and we came back to, they're wanting to come back to it now. So, you know, that's the issue. I also, asterisk, we'll talk about this more later, but I have extra issues with this because we don't even partake of the school benefit. We homeschool. So now you're asking my homeschool wife, who gets paid nothing, who has educated 3 kids, who would have gotten about, $25,000-$26,000 a year for 3 kids if she ran a school and it was 3 kids in her school, but she gets nothing because it's homeschool. You're asking us to not only not get paid to educate the public's kids, but now we want to pay more. You see why I might have extra thoughts about this. But I want you to get the whole situation. And the truth of it is, you know, they're in trouble financially, and we don't get taxed very much living in Escambia County. And so there you go. That's the issue. 437-1620. Oh, somebody texts in and says, as a former high school math teacher, I absolutely would not take your bet, Andrew. Yeah, what? No. Nobody would.
No.
Unless they didn't actually understand math enough to understand the bet.
Your child is 18, and suddenly you no longer have legal access to their medical info, even in an emergency. No health decisions, no financial help, nothing, unless you plan ahead. That's why Trust and Will created the Young Adult Plan. It includes HIPAA authorization, healthcare directives, and power of attorney. Everything your child needs to stay protected and stay connected. Go to trustandwill.com and get your Young Adult Plan for just $69, because turning 18 shouldn't mean cutting parents out of the picture. Trust and Will is an online estate planning service. See website for details.
Ooh, Trust and Will.
Sportsman's Night Out is back, and it's bigger than ever. This year, it's a new date and more giveaways than ever before. You could win a brand new camper, a four-wheeler, a side-by-side, hunting trips, fishing gear, and even a brand new car. It all goes down September 11th at the Pensacola Bay Center. Tickets? Just $10. But don't wait. They will sell out. Grab yours now at sportsmansnightout.com. Sportsman's Night Out, September 11th. Presented by Carpenter's Campers, Parrish Tractor, Penton's Auto Trim, Sandy Sansing Automotive, and Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Some things can steal your sunshine. Ugh, I just got my hair done.
Sorry, the cooler's broken.
Aww. Anyone see my flip-flops? Anyone?
But COVID-19 can steal a lot more.
I just took a COVID test. Ugh.
Prescription medications for COVID exist. If you test positive this summer, ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com/COVID-19 to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You can do what you want to us, but we're not going to sit here and listen to you badmouth the United States of America. Gentlemen!
The sun goes down, the stars come out, and all that counts is here and now. My universe will never be the same. I'm glad you came.
Good morning, 528 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
On Podcast Network.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we there? All right. Hello.
Podcast Network.
I don't know what that. I've got like 10 browser windows open. I'm not sure which one that was coming from. A massive earthquake off of Russia's coast has triggered a tsunami wave across the Pacific. Hawaii has seen waves pushing boats ashore, but so far no major damage. Warnings do remain for Hawaii, Alaska, and the West Coast, where the National Weather Service says it's detected tsunami waves off the coast of Mendocino County, California.
Yeah, 8.8 on the Richter scale, this thing. It puts it in contention to be one of the top 10 strongest earthquakes on record to have been measured. So, yeah, pretty serious. And, of course, areas that were closer to it, like the outer edges of the island chain around Alaska or the Kurile Islands and the Japan-Russia territory, you know, disputed territory historically, they're more at risk. Or Hawaii, you know, has been more at risk. They've got a West Coast tsunami alert as well. They're talking 2 to 3 feet along the Oregon, you know, and Washington coast and stuff like that. I was just thinking that the South, that makes sense. But at the North, like where it's Oregon, it's like beaches and cliffs. You know, doesn't much matter, you know, what happens there. Anyway, anything else, David?
New York City's mayor says he believes the NFL was the target of the gunman that shot and killed four people at a Manhattan office building on Monday. Shane Tamura was the gunman, 27-year-old with a history of mental illness.
And says that his mental illness was caused by CTE, the brain injury, the collection of things connected to brain injury that came from him playing football in, like, high school, I guess. Peace.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Relief in Hawaii.
The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center has downgraded the forecast from a tsunami warning to a tsunami advisory.
Major General Stephen Logan, the State Department of Defense. Now, the state's emergency management agency reports the evacuation is lifted. It's safe to return to evacuated areas. This after the strongest earthquake the world has experienced in 14 years rattles eastern Russia. The massive 8.8 quake triggering tsunami waves, some as high as 6 feet, crashing into Hawaii's shoreline, but not everyone's out of the woods.
The tsunami advisories are up for the west coast of the lower 48, with the exception of Northern California. Northern California under a tsunami warning.
Fox Weather's Craig Herrera this morning. The Federal Reserve will reveal its decision on interest rates at 2 p.m. Eastern. The central bank not expected to slash rates. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 80 degrees with a heat index already of about 89 degrees this morning. A man that shot himself in Walnut Hill last week now faces charges related to having homemade bombs and a hit list at his home. 26-year-old Joshua Dean Hardy was charged with possession of a destructive device using a firearm during a felony and possession of a firearm with a removed serial number. Hardy had accidentally shot himself in a leg while he was walking in the woods with a rifle last week. Family members said he'd been patrolling their property since an old house burned down, and he believed it to be arson. Deputies responded to that incident when he shot himself. They found his weapon and what they were calling a homemade incendiary device attached to a tactical vest. And well, that's when they served a search warrant at his residence and say they found two more homemade bombs, bomb-making materials, and a handgun with a serial number removed. Investigators say they also found an OP4 list, or a list of enemies. Hardy remains in the Escambia County Jail on $65,000 bond. Charges have now been filed against a boat operator involved in a crash with a ferry in Clearwater. It killed one person, injured 10 others last April. Jeffrey Knight is now charged with 8 counts of leaving the scene of an accident, speeding, and not maintaining a lookout. The crash killed Jose Castro.
Our hope is that the conclusion of this investigation can be the first step and bringing closure and justice to his family and all those affected by this event.
That's FWC Major Evan Laskowski. And officials say the investigation took several months because investigating boat accidents isn't really as straightforward as investigating car accidents. They say evidence sinks to the bottom and it's not available and there's no skid marks to analyze, and that just makes it more difficult. The ferry operator also faces a charge in this case for the ferry's stern light not being operational at the time of the accident. The Escambia Sheriff's Office celebrating one of their deputies, Sergeant Chase Horn. He was recently appointed to the Florida Criminal Justice Standards and Training Commission by Governor Ron DeSantis. Chief Deputy Andy Hobbs tells us that Horn is an absolute rock star for the Sheriff's Office.
He also does a lot of the special projects for us. So let's just say Smart Cop, which is our computer-aided dispatch. That's what does our dispatching, our reports, all those things. When we're looking at a new process or something like that, We'll give it to him. He works with the men and women on patrol and tries to work out all the bugs.
And Hobbs says Sergeant Horn is worth his weight in gold, as he can be trusted with completing special projects, identifies problems, and even offers solutions for them. ECUA is cutting the ribbon today on their newly restored Bayou Marcus Boardwalk Trail.
We have about 1,000 acres of wetlands located around our Bayou Marcus water reclamation facility. And quite a few years ago, we partnered with the Great Florida Birding and Wildlife Trail system, and we're now a part of that system, which is managed by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
That's ECUA's Executive Director, Bruce Woody, and he says the mile and a half of raised boardwalk is a beautiful place to see all types of native wildlife, including many species of birds, deer, foxes, raccoons, snakes, even alligators, and all other types of wildlife as well. He says the entire boardwalk has been redecked now and has some new handrails. It's been closed for just over a year as part of a $4 million restoration project. And that ceremony is being held at 9 o'clock this morning, and that'll be at the boardwalk ramp, which is just past the parking area. 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at a chance of some rain today, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. We're also going to be under a heat advisory as temperatures warm back into the 90s, feeling more like the triple digits. High today near 90 degrees, low in the 80s. Going into your Thursday, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 92. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 81. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
80 degrees right now. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Investors are awaiting the Federal Reserve's interest rate announcement this afternoon. CME Group's Fed Watch Tool are predicting a 98% likelihood of the central bank keeping its key rate at a range of 4.25% to 4.5%. In an all-hands-on-deck meeting last week, Google CEO Sundar Pichai said the company has to drive higher productivity to compete. Pichai said employees should use artificial intelligence to become more efficient. Brian Saluzzo, who leads the developer team in Google's core organization, said the company is building more tools for software engineers. YouTube has announced it is planning to roll out a new age estimation technology that will identify users under the age of 18 to protect teens from harmful content. Powered by artificial intelligence, the tool will be able to assess a person's age based on the types of videos they've watched, the categories of the videos, and how long the person has had their account, regardless of the birthday associated with it. Futures are currently mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Markets may be unpredictable, but your cleaning service shouldn't be. At Janie King, the King of Clean, we work with you to build custom cleaning programs that fit your facility and your budget. Our local franchise owners deliver reliable, hands-on service backed by regional support, so you get flexibility, consistency, and peace of mind. That's one less thing to worry about. Head to JannieKingCleans.com to learn more. That's JannieKingCleans.com.
Janie King, the King of Clean.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare here in Pensacola. I'd like to invite you to tune in to my new show, Sit, Stay, and Listen, where I'll be answering all your pet questions live on air tomorrow, 9:30. See all you cool people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Florida State football's coming. Are you ready? The season kicks off as the University of Alabama rolls into town for the first time ever. The epic season continues as the Noles take on teams like Virginia, the Hurricanes, Clemson, Florida, and more. Have your business branded inside all the games, plus weekly promos and commercials. A special sponsorship package is waiting just for your business. Get your business on the field. Call 850-262-6000 to be an FSU sponsor right here on News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola. Get ready
ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked.
Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
I loved the old music. I really like the new music for the sheriff. I'm glad he asked.
I do
for
too.
It. Yeah, no, it's good. Okay. So Sheriff Simmons is out for the day, but we've got a good friend and the second in command, shared joint second command, right? You and Tommy are both equal, right?
Yeah, he's okay. Operations and I am administration.
Okay, so Chief Deputy Andy Hobbs is in here with me. Somebody might call him Andrew, but only if they didn't know him all that well.
Whatever they want to call me.
Fair enough. Got a couple of crimes I want to talk about, and then we'll talk about some other stuff that I think is really interesting. One is in Cantonment. Seems like Cantonment was real active in the last week. Christopher Campbell breaking into three different homes.
Yeah, he had broken over into homes over a couple of month period. And what was interesting about that is he did not go far from home. He lives in that area. So he was, I'm sure, on these situations normally. When you hear a house has been broken into during the day, at night, whenever, normally they're going to be broken in during the day because people are at work. Mm-hmm. Normal taxpaying citizens are at work, and so that's when you usually get victimized with home burglaries.
Which is what a lot of people don't realize, that their home is more likely to be broken into during the day because they're not there, and crooks know that or pay attention, right?
Correct. Most burglars do not want to be confronted by people, and so that's what they wait. And so... Normally, burglars are going to be in your neighborhoods. They're going to watch. They're going to find patterns. They're going to look for when they know you're not going to be there. They're going to know when the cars aren't there. And when they don't see that, then that's usually when they make their move. But yeah, this genius broke into multiple homes, and then he went to a local pawn shop and pawned some of the material. Well, we get everything. We have partnerships in that state law also with pawn shops that we get everything that's pawned. So our investigators...
Because of this habit.
Correct, yeah. Our investigators are always combing through that, always going to see if they can find it. I mean, tirelessly. And people are like, well, how do you catch these guys? That's one way. Mm-hmm. Or we're also watching Facebook Marketplace, those different places, because people steal things to sell those. That's what they're doing. They're not collectors. They're not antiquities. Right. They're trying to get it for drugs or whatever habit they have. So that's how we normally catch him. But, yeah, he was able to pawn a couple of he stole guns, equipment, a bunch of different things. He did it three separate times over a couple months, and then the last one was in July, and we were able to finally track him down with some of the stuff he'd pawned.
All right. Well, did the people get their stuff back, or?
Yeah, that's a process they work through with the pawn shops.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also had in Cantonment on Candy Lane that you had this is – uninvited entry, some stolen items, and false imprisonment allegations?
Yeah, this young person here, Caleb Jernigan, was acting erratic, bouncing off the walls, just acting crazy in the neighborhood, makes entry into a residence that he was unwanted at, steals a weed eater while he's there, but is confronted by some neighbors, and when we get there, he's already in handcuffs sitting there waiting for us.
Who had handcuffs?
I'm guessing one of the neighbors just happened to have those. No questions asked.
Yeah, right.
You know, at that point, that
did
is your...
Did they have pink fur on them or anything?
You know, a good Samaritan is a good Samaritan, even if they're pink and furry. You know, so, yeah, they had already helped us out with that. He was cleared by EMS. They were trying to figure out if he was under drugs or just a mental issue or just acting it. Because in a lot of situations... you know, people, when they're going to be arrested, they want to act crazy. They want to act like, oh, I didn't know what I was doing. And that's something our deputies have to deal with. An EMS who does an amazing job.
So people fake being crazy.
Yeah, because they want to get Baker acted instead. They want to use it as a defense. Because if I'm not in my right mental state,
you can't be subject to the same criminal sanctions.
You can be.
Right.
Most people aren't good enough actors. you know, well, our deputies, the men and women of the sheriff's office, deal with people in crisis every single day. And we get very good at knowing who's really in there, because there's some telltale signs of people that are truly in a mental crisis and need help. And then there's others that are under the influence of drugs. Drugs and mental issues look different when you're really face-to-face with it. And just because you're high or just because you think you're riding a magic dragon doesn't mean you get to break into people's houses.
It's interesting that through experience, obviously, you start to know the difference between what you're dealing with, the same way a cashier knows the difference between real bills, fake bills, and which kind of fake bill. I mean, that's just from experience, from seeing it enough that you know, you can tell the difference most of the time.
Yeah, and the copious amounts of training we do.
Yeah.
The professional development unit at the sheriff's office is constantly bringing in new training to deal with mental health issues, deal with narcotics. You know, our officers, or the deputy sheriffs of Escambia County, are some of the probably best trained, if not the best trained in the state of Florida. So they are professional, you know, just like Sheriff Simmons says, courtesy, integrity, professionalism. We can't have professionalism without a lot of training.
You know, it's just, you know, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man kind of stuff. When the neighbors wrap him up for you and even handcuff him, have you waited, you know, pick him up. He's on the sidewalk. You know, ECUA wouldn't take him, so you guys can have him.
Well,
so.
You know, we pick it up when we can.
Andrew, one of the Andy, I don't know why I called you Andrew. Governor DeSantis has appointed one of your deputies, Chase Horn, to be the Florida Criminal Justice Standards and Training, to be on the Florida Criminal Justice and Standards and Training Commission. That's a pretty big deal.
Oh, absolutely. Sergeant Chase Horn is an absolute rock star for our agency. He has worked patrol. He worked at Pensacola Beach. He was elected by the men and women of the sheriff's office to be the president of the PBA for Northwest Florida, our bargaining unit, the union.
Police Benevolent Association.
And he does a fantastic job. But above and beyond all those things, he also does a lot of the special projects for us. So let's just say a smart cop, which is our computer aided dispatch. That's what does our dispatching, our reports, all those things. When we're looking at a new process or something like that, we'll give it to him. He works with the men and women on patrol and tries to work out all the bugs. He is dynamic.
So like the field beta testing to make sure that it's really going to be useful to the people who have to use it.
Yeah, and I tell everybody, his superpower is he will bring you a problem like, hey, we have A, B, and C, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. But he also gives you a resolution for each one. Mm-hmm. And you know as well as I do, people like that who can find or can tell you there's a problem, but also can help you find a resolution, they are worth their weight in gold. But I'm just glad that he's been recognized by the state for his character, his leadership, and honestly, his hard work. He is an absolute phenomenal deputy, phenomenal sergeant, and honestly, he is a an asset to the sheriff's office every day.
You know, one of the things, a couple of things have been in the news I wanted to ask you about. One is Milton has recently, their new police chief has added forward-looking infrared cameras. They're using drones, which is good. You guys have FLIR, and you have more than one drone, right?
Yeah, we are one of the first agencies in the state of Florida to be full operational on every shift. So I have a drone on every single shift our agency has. And people are like, wow, that sounds like a lot. It is a lot. But it's a necessity. We kind of use it kind of like the same as canines. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a canine on every shift. Well, now we have a drone on every shift, and that allows the men and women of the sheriff's office to do some very, very forward-thinking things. The difference, we talked earlier about helicopters. So the sheriff's office had a helicopter.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Okay.
Somebody said you ought to ask about the sheriff's department helicopter. And I figured expensive is probably why we don't have it anymore.
Expensive is an understatement. You get those surpluses. I believe the ones we had were 1979 Rangers.
Okay.
But the cost, first of all, to have someone operating it 24 hours a day, because we tried under other administrations, we tried to minimize it and have it as an on-call. Uh-huh. Well, if you wait till that long, the situation's already over.
The advantage of getting there fast in a helicopter loses its potency when you don't have somebody ready to get in it right away.
Correct. Plus a pilot and a co-pilot or the navigator or what we call them lookers, the guys who look around and do all the things that the pilot doesn't do, they have to be proficient. They have to continue to train. So you really have to have a 24-hour operation. So you have to have pilots and other people. And then the maintenance on it. The maintenance on helicopters is crazy expensive because you have to stay on it. The safety of those two people, the safety of your community.
Right.
So years ago under Sheriff Morgan, when the budget cuts came years and years ago, that was one of the things that had to go because it was extremely expensive. It's a great asset. An airframe is a great asset to have if you can afford it. But drones give us a little bit of the same thing. The difference between a drone and a helicopter, I have to explain to these people. Sergeant Josh Hendershot, who's in charge of our drone unit, does an excellent job. But he and I go around and talk a lot about the drones. A helicopter can fly around all day long, look in your backyard, can do all those things without a warrant. For us to launch a drone and do a search, like we're looking for things, not people, but things, we have to have a search warrant. So let's just say we have a bunch of burglaries in an area. Let's say Cantonment. Let's just say car burglaries, because car burglaries happen at
hard
night.
Hard to hide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but car burglaries happen at night. Home burglaries usually happen during the day.
Okay.
Car burglaries happen at night.
Because they want you at home with your keys in the car or whatever.
Correct. Yeah. They want to hope that you got out of your car, talking on your cell phone or Facebook in or watching ads that seem
for
to
Sydney
be very,
Sweeney jeans,
my goodness, I've never seen that ad, but after listening to y'all speak about it, I'm going to have to Google it when I leave. But they, life gets in the way. I talk about it all the time. Life gets in the way. You don't lock your car. Well, our drone operator, who's a full-time deputy also, but they've now got their pilot license, we can get a search warrant, launch it over your neighborhood, and let it sit over for a couple hours, switching out batteries, and use our FLIR so that we can see what's going on at night. We can be a mile away, and we can see if car burglaries are occurring. Mm-hmm. But we have to get a search warrant to do that.
Okay.
With a helicopter, you can just fly around willy-nilly. You don't have to. It's just the different laws that apply for drones compared to helicopters. But, yeah, we have a very large drone program now. We do not use Chinese drones because the governor says you cannot. So I always get this question. Well, DJIs aren't very expensive. They're easy to use. You're right. They are. But the governor says we can't use those. We can only use about four different companies that are American-made, and they are not cheap. They do a great job, but they're not cheap. We use Skydio drones, and they do a great job for us. But, again, they're not cheap. But if you have any questions, we do demos all the time. We'll walk you through it. We are very transparent with our drone program. We're very proud of it because it was a lot of work, but it was something that when you look forward, you need to keep our community safe. You need those ability to have an eye in the sky.
Who had it first, you guys or PPD?
PPD had one drone.
Okay, that was the IHMC collaboration.
Yeah. And then I believe that went away, and then we have now, under Sheriff Simmons, we are a full operational drone program. It also can feed back to our real-time crime center.
Right, I figured
that.
So,
yeah, it's utilizing technology as a force multiplier and truly giving the citizens the level of security and professionalism they expect and deserve.
Why doesn't Escambia County have a sheriff's office offer the safe driver program, teen driver program, the way the Santa Rosa sheriff does?
Yeah, that's a great question. That was one of my questions a couple of years ago that I got with Lieutenant Patrick Frazier. And I said, hey, let's find out why we're not doing it. There's a funding
because
source.
Because it's way over demand. I mean, classes always fill.
Correct.
People want to do it. People recognize the value. They want their kids to be safe. And who else better to teach them than the skilled drivers of the sheriff's office?
Some of them are skilled. Yeah, some of them are skilled. Yeah, have you seen? I hear y'all. I know.
Better
I know.
Than the average driver.
Oh, better than average. You think about how much we drive on a daily basis. And, you know, when I get complaints a lot, you know, your deputy did not use a blinker. He or she may not have used a blinker, but I assure you that he or she has a radio going on in their car telling them about calls, a CAD, a computer in front of them they're having to look at. So sometimes we do miss a blinker or two, but we do work on it.
Well, if the fluid's low.
Yeah, I mean, you got to.
Hard to replace, right? It's a scarcity, apparently.
Hey,
anyway,
well,
so go
the
ahead.
The bulbs burn out.
Why don't we have a safe driver
so
program?
So our school district does that here. Our school district has driver's ed, and there's a funding source from the state, and it goes through the school district. Well, there's not enough funding sources for the school district to do it and for us. It's extremely expensive for sheriff's offices to do it. Santa Rosa does an amazing job with it, but they don't have the same issues over there as we do here, where our school district, which is very large, the school district does an amazing job. They're using the funding source for their driver's ed. So it would be doubling up. Plus, on top of every other thing we do with our Citizens Law Enforcement Academy, our Dream Bigs, our movie nights, I mean, we are pretty tapped out at this point on our community outreach. We have probably events. Like, I had a person ask me the other day about an event, if we could come do their event. We have 5 events on Saturday alone.
Wow.
So the amount of things we're doing. But we did try. It was something Sheriff Simmons wanted us to look at. We looked at it all different ways. It's extremely expensive to do. Mm-hmm. The funding that Santa Rosa is getting from the state is really good, because to do it right, you have to have multiple instructors. You have to have the cars out there. You have to pay those deputies to be out there all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And you know, the program they do over there in Santa Rosa County is phenomenal.
And a good note is, I mean, we know Santa Rosa does not do driver's ed in the schools, and that's been kind of an issue, but there is at least the school district or the sheriff's office does their thing. So that makes sense that there's sort of, it's one or the other in a given locale.
And that's how I was explained about why the funding source is what the funding source is.
Escambia County Sheriff's Chief Deputy Andrew Hobbs. Always good to talk to you, Andy. I don't know why I keep calling you Andy because I'm reading my show prep. it's always good to have you, sir. Thanks for answering my questions, man. I appreciate it.
No, it's an honor to be here. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Always good to talk to Andy Hobbs. 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. And, you know, one of the things you can think about when you go there is, you know, a lot of times you feel like you're in an adversarial relationship with whoever's trying to sell you a car, whether it's a private individual or a used car lot or even a dealership, whatever. You feel like they're the enemy and you're trying to pry a car out of their hands without getting taken advantage of too badly, right? I mean, that's, I know that. I've bought cars. That's how it feels. Frontier's different. You know, they kind of understand that's normally how you feel, and so they're trying to not be that. And so I recommend think of them a little bit different way. Think of them as somebody you can ask for help. Think of them as somebody who can give you advice, guidance. You know, go to them and say, look, Andrew's always raving about you guys. Here's kind of what I'm thinking about. Here's kind of what I use my car for. Here's, you know, the needs. Here's kind of my budget. What would you recommend? You know, what do you think fits? What things are people bringing back and kind of complaining about? What things are people selling and or not selling because they like them too much? You know, you guys see thousands and thousands and thousands of cars. What do you learn that might be helpful to me? And see, if you look at it that way, you might actually, you know, get a great suggestion on a car that wasn't maybe exactly what you were thinking, but then you're like, oh, man, this really works for me. And I don't know, it's just a way to think about it, just a different way to think about it. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. Penair Credit Union's high-yield checking, 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts, and 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA, Penair's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy over the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Frosted Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Yeah, I hear they're going to bring Moose back for your hands.
Oh, my goodness, really?
When was the last time somebody bought Moose for their hair? I mean, it probably still is available, but, you know.
It is still available.
It probably is, right? Oh, man, that makes me happy, though, thinking about Wang Chung and eating Lucky Charms and, you know, watching Saturday morning cartoons and all the good stuff.
And the moose, I think David Wayne wears.
Does David Wayne? No, he does not.
He does.
No. No, he does not.
You can't tell?
David Wayne, are you a moose user?
A moose user?
Yeah.
Boy, not in probably a couple decades.
There you go. See? Yeah. Liar, John. All right, David,
well,
tell us,
like
tell us about the news,
I will
son.
Say that I have moosed, though, at some point. It was a while back. A mooser from way back, you might say. New York City's mayor says he believes the NFL was the target of the gunman that shot and killed four people in Manhattan Monday. Shane Tamura, a 27-year-old with a history of mental illness. Mayor Eric Adams says he believes Tamura was gunning for the league's office but took the wrong elevator when he was in the building. Ghislaine Maxwell's request for immunity in exchange for a congressional testimony is being rejected by a House committee. Maxwell's lawyers say she will testify, but only if granted immunity. Otherwise, she'll invoke the Fifth Amendment. The House Oversight Committee ruled out immunity but says they will respond soon to her request.
Also, did you see the question that President Trump got asked on the airplane? Would you ever consider pardoning her?
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. Interesting. I guess I could. In exchange for what, sir?
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.